With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Governor Greg Abbott says it may be time for Texas to adopt legislation declaring itself a Second Amendment sanctuary state. This after President Biden announced a series of executive orders on gun control that critics denounce as a gun grab. Abbott, who says Mr. Biden is threatening our Second Amendment rights, is urging Texas lawmakers to pass sanctuary legislation, saying he would sign it into law. Meanwhile, Tennessee becoming the latest state to revise its gun laws.
The new law allows most people 21 and older to carry a handgun, either openly or concealed, without first clearing a background check and training. Governor Bill Lee signed the measure into law, tweeting, "It shouldn't be hard for law-abiding Tennesseans to exercise their Second Amendment rights." The Republican is up for re-election next year.
Correspondent Ben Thomas. Also at SRNNews.com, with the Biden administration opening the door to the U.S. rejoining the Iran nuclear deal, the Islamic Republic and the five nations that remain a part of the agreement continue their talks.
The aim of the meeting is to help build a foundation to bring the U.S. back on board. The delicate diplomatic dance that began in Vienna on Tuesday needs to balance the concerns and interests of both Washington and Tehran. The five, France, Germany, Britain, China and Russia, a meeting 3 days after Russia's delegates said they agreed to set up expert-level groups on the lifting of sanctions and nuclear issues, which are supposed to identify measures to be taken by both Iran and the US to revive the accord fully. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
One person killed, several others critically wounded. A shooting at a cabinet-making business in Bryan, Texas. 27-year-old suspect in custody. No word on a motive. Dow futures up 70 points, and this is SRN News.
News on WBOB, AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Good morning, I'm Adam Boardman. A main area road is once again open after being closed due to a gas line break. The southbound lanes of Blanding Boulevard in Clay County were shut down yesterday morning, and nearby businesses were evacuated. No one was hurt. The line was cut accidentally by some construction equipment. A homeless shelter that was opened to house those from a former tent city is now closed. Yesterday was the last day the bridge shelter in downtown Jacksonville was open. It was only designed to operate for the 30 days immediately following the tent city's closure. A prominent prosecutor who's accused of molesting a child has offered to resign rather than possibly get fired. Chris Ambrosio was the city attorney for Jacksonville Beach until he was arrested and charged. The city council placed him on administrative leave, then voted to start the process of firing him. Ambrosio says he will go away quietly as long as he's paid for accrued leave, salary, and benefits. That's Jacksonville.radio News.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
That's not far.
What are we going to do? Hike?
Sure.
Are we there yet?
Yep. It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org, brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Jacksonville's only morning local political talk show, the Ed Dean Radio Show. News, opinion, and your chance to call in with your opinion. Weekdays 6 till 9 a.m. on AM 600 WBOB. Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Our usual light traffic around NAS Jacks. At about 3 extra minutes, and if you see anything, since we can't see it all, just give us a call, 901-SAFE, 901-7233.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees. Here's some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is suing the Biden administration to get cruises open in the state. The CDC has extended a ban preventing cruise ships from allowing passengers to embark and disembark from U.S. ports. On Thursday, President Biden rolled out a set of executive orders on gun control and says he supports a nationwide red flag law. And border official announced record high numbers in March of illegal migrants crossing the U.S. border.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
But today we're taking steps to confront not just the gun crisis, but what is actually a public health crisis. Nothing I'm about to recommend in any way impinges on the Second Amendment. They're phony arguments suggesting that these are Second Amendment rights at stake from what we're talking about. But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. Gun violence in this country is an epidemic.
That came from the White House yesterday. That's President Biden on some of the issues he's talking about dealing with the topic of gun control. 7:05, good morning, Ed Dean. Roger Henderson, all the way with you to 9 a.m. right here on Talk Radio WBOB. The White House with President Biden also says that some of the things that they plan to release is they want to see an implementation nationwide. He would support if we had a nationwide red flag law dealing with the issue of those that would may prevent gun violence and not get in the hands of those that shouldn't be having this, if we could have one prevent, again, through a red flag law.
He's directing the Justice Department to create a template that states can use to enact red flag laws, which allow authorities to remove firearms from people who are deemed a threat. But these actions are limited, and some gun control advocates say the president should have taken bolder action even sooner.
This is what President Biden yesterday said about he'd like to see a nationwide red flag law.
We know red flag laws can have significant effect in protecting women from domestic violence. And we know red flag laws can stop mass shooters before they can act out their violent plans. I want to see a national red flag law and legislation to incentivize states to enact their own red flag laws. I asked the Justice Department to publish a model red flag legislation so states can start crafting their own laws right now. And it's time to put these laws on the books and protect even more people.
But South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says you can't forget about due process.
Starting with the idea of red flag laws, I think these protective orders have a lot of hope to solve some of these cases. There has to be an imminent threat of harm to oneself or to others before the police, and it can only be the police, can go to a judge. You have a hearing. You got to have more likely than not standard that there's an imminent threat of bodily injury. 7 days later, you have a full-blown hearing, clear and convincing evidence where the gun owner can come in and defend themselves, and the government has to prove by clear and convincing evidence that the person is disturbed, a danger to themselves or others. And if that test is met, they can seize the guns and get the person the help they need. And in Parkland, Florida, Cruz had 32 to 40 visits by the cops. They had no way to...
So, Jimmy, I find this is two fascinating debates in the gun control debate that we ask you at 831-0600. Quite a few emails come in this morning, ed@wbob.com. We understand, we keep seeing this movie play over and over, assault weapons, then the argument of universal background checks. The two that I'm always intrigued by a conversation, of course, is going after gun manufacturers. I'm like, well, why them? I mean, could you not sit back and say if somebody used a car to use a bodily harm, could you not sue the car manufacturer as well if you're going to go down that road? But the red flag laws, the question is, I'm intrigued by this because who sets it up? I don't believe there should be any nationwide. If the state wants to do it, you let them do it, may not have to agree. Here's the questions that I ask you at 904-831-0600. Should the state legislature set a parameter like a guideline of how red flag laws should be enacted? Or number two, should we give the discretion to a local judge? Does the state law say, okay, this implies here, for example, you could recommend the death penalty as a jury, Roger, but the judge can sit back and say, well, I'm going to give him life in prison.
Right.
The judge has the discretion about that. Or should there be a set of laws? Nope, you can't take away their guns under red flag law here. Yep, you can take away their guns here if they're being investigated. And here's the other big question.
And how do they get them back if everything's okay?
Well, you get them back. So here's the other question. Are pro-gun gun rights groups, are they absolute against any type of a red flag law, all right? Should they be against any type, should they be against any type of red flag law, or is there room for compromise on that? That's the question we ask you. At 831-0600, should the state of Florida implement here's a guideline. For example, you have elections law, but the supervisor of elections on a local level can dictate certain things, not really go out of the parameters, but, okay, for example, absentee ballots, some counties may start on Thursday, this county may start on a Friday, as long as it's done. It's done. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you're not really changing anything. Or should a judge have a discrepancy? I mean, you know, the discretion about, okay, we think this individual is going to cause bodily harm. And by the way, why is it always on men? You know, there's a lot of women out there that are ready to take out a couple of boyfriends because they treated them bad. I get that as well. But anyway, I don't mean take them out physically, you know what I'm saying? But I'm using a hyperbole here. But should a judge be allowed to institute red flag laws and what they deem based on police reports? Hey, Your Honor, this guy, like, if we think he's a flight risk, we're going to take away his passport. All right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to give him any bond. By the way, he's supposed, you know, it's constitutional, but a judge can deny you for that. I get that. And I don't have a problem with some of that. Who should it be allowed to? Am I asking the right question? Should we let the state, local judge? And by the way, should you be against any red flag law? Oh, it's in the eye of the beholder. I get that. Are pro-gun groups moving towards down that road? Because if you're going to address mental illness, you may have to address that in the red flag law as well.
Yes. And if you look at it, you know, a lot of this is kind of being initiated at the federal level with Biden saying what he wants to do. If you read the Second Amendment, it seems to imply that state governments ought to have the authority to regulate their gun ownership, not the federal government.
Yeah. And by the way, you do know, folks, that a gun store can turn you down based on if they deem you're a threat or not.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? So I'm just fascinated by the red flag laws. Where should it begin? Where should there be a little bit of compromise? Or where do you sit back and say, no, this is a little too far here? Where do you go with this? 904-831-0600. And there are some of you have been emailing me, said there should be, you know, no red flag laws. Let's go to Morgan on line one. Hey, Morgan, thanks for calling.
Hey, Ed, you and Roger, you just have the best show going. Just want to let
you guys
know.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that, brother.
Thank you.
There already are quote unquote red flag laws. Okay, you mentioned it where a person is a clear threat to himself or to others. We can already do this. Okay, you also mentioned this kid Cruz. Okay, the cops visited his house at least 25 times.
Yeah.
Reports are as high as 40 some. Okay, now and it was for direct bodily threats and death threats against people. The fact that he was allowed to stay on the streets is a crime. He should have been red flagged, not red flagged, but he should have been prohibited weapons immediately at the state and federal level. There should have been communication. The FBI knew about this kid.
Mm.
Okay? So we already have red flag laws. And as far as who should do it, you said, you know, common sense thing. Should judges be able to do it, right? That's what you said.
Should they have the discrepancy? I mean, they already do things like that.
Okay. Here's the problem, Ed.
All right.
When it's taken away from the state legislature, it gets away from legality. And I'm going to tell you how. Left-wing judges, they're a continuous problem. I've noticed that left-wing judges, you probably noticed this too, they're left-wing people first and they're judges second. So the legal aspects of this whole thing are subverted to their political ideology.
Yeah, but the role can reverse. If Tallahassee was run by a bunch of liberals and you had conservative judges, then we argue, well, we shouldn't leave it to Tallahassee, let's leave it to conservative judges.
Exactly, but here's the problem with that. If they directly violate the Constitution, then we have a bigger problem, okay? As long as these things are in line with the Constitution, we're fine. And the Constitution doesn't prohibit taking guns away from murderers and rapists and the insane.
Yeah, but judges, whether they're left wing or not, and by the way, I'm not supposed to know what they are. I don't want to know what they are. But aren't judges
right.
But they are allowed discrepancy, the discretion. No bond. Hello, Fourth Amendment. I mean, what about also when it comes to whether or not you can't speak to the media whatsoever about this case? Some people go, but I get where you're coming from.
Gag
on this.
Order.
Yeah, gag order.
Yeah, you know, and you make a good sense, and that's you asked a great question because it's a tough one. The problem is I do not trust left-wing judges. They are leftist first and judges second.
Well, again, I'm not supposed to know that. I got to run. Hey, good conversation this morning. I'm glad you called.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I mean, I don't know if they're left-wing judges. I don't want to know if they're left-wing judges. Just get up there and just abide by the law.
Yeah.
Let's go to JC. Hey, man, good morning.
Good morning. You know, whenever I think of a red flag, the first thing that comes to mind is like communist China, their flag is red. And I think the Soviet flag was red. So, you know, just the word red flag law implements.
Wow. Hey, you know the Confederate flag was red. United States got red on their flag too.
Right, but that's red, white, and blue.
Exactly. Have some patriotism, Ed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Bunch of communists out there.
The red flag. I never thought about that one. That's a good one.
So, I mean, that's basically what it is. It comes to thought police. I mean, there's so many Bill of Rights violations just with the implementation of anything like that. I mean, you're making an individual can call the police and say this guy's a threat, and he's judge, jury, and executioner for that person to be arrested.
Right.
And you're talking about the judges. That's after the person's been arrested because there was something to be arrested. The red flag laws, the way I understand it, is before a person even arrested or something like that and can implement somebody without having a jury of 12. It just violates. I mean,
I'm not against them necessarily myself, but the person who has their guns taken away at their own expense has to hire a legal defense team to get their guns back. That's money out of their pocket.
Exactly.
Just to get their money back.
Do you support any type of a red flag law?
If it violates any of the amendments, no. I mean, if you start it, it's like you put the camel's head in the tent. Once the camel's head in the tent, it's over.
What if
the camel's head back out of the tent?
All right. What if they violently make threatening act that, hey, I'm coming after you, I'm getting a gun, I'm going to kill you? Should that individual's guns be taken away?
Well, if he's arrested, it doesn't matter if his guns are there, and he should be arrested for that because that's like
yeah, but he gets back out on bond.
You don't need to take his gun, but I mean,
why not?
He should be arrested for that.
But what if he bails out the next day?
Still, I mean, that's a whole different issue there. You know, you can't. It's lack of due process, like Lindsey Graham was saying.
No, that is due process. He got bailed out, and we take away other rights like money for bond. Judge can deny you bond. Judge can deny you not from leaving a country, from your passport.
Confiscate your passport.
I don't consider that liberal. I mean, I understand where the red flag thing was pretty
like
good.
Me,
I do like
have
that
two different countries' passport, yeah, like
but,
me.
But the bottom, yeah, but the bottom line here is that there is a due process. They're not just taking away your guns. If you threaten to kill someone, I'm telling you, if you don't do it, then the police is going to get sued because then you're going to accuse them. Well, they should have taken away their guns. It's kind of an interesting conversation. All right, more of your calls. More of your calls coming up next. Talk Radio WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Some light traffic on the Buckman Bridge headed south. Add about 5 extra minutes, and if you see anything that'll help your friends stay safe, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees.
The Clay County Agricultural Fair is turning 35 this year, and what a ride it's been. Come celebrate with us from April 1st through April 11th at the Clay County Fairgrounds. All your favorites are back. We have an all-star entertainment lineup, rides for all ages, the best fair food around, and don't forget, the animals. Visit claycountyfair.org for COVID information and to get discount tickets through March 31st. Make it a family affair to remember.
Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence. They rescue and train shelter dogs to be paired as service dogs for warriors with service-connected post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and/or military sexual trauma. Join their mission and be a part of their 2020 campaign to reduce the veteran suicide rate of 20 a day, because 20 is a name, not a number. Learn more at caninesforwarriors.org.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it too. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by March 31st. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second. And if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-55-BIBLE. That's 844-55-BIBLE. 844-55-BIBLE.
All right, let's go to, I got to take another break in a few minutes. Let's go to Rod. Hey, Rod, good morning.
Yeah, hi, good morning. With regard to this whole thing about this red flag, like that guy said, you know, the camel's nose is under the flap. Does anyone really expect the government to keep its end of a bargain when it comes to power?
Can you clarify that a little bit more?
Well, on my original Social Security card that I got in 1962, right across the top was what everybody would regard as a sick joke today, not to be used for identification purposes.
Second wow, thing, that's funny. Yeah,
excellent point.
Second thing, and it has to do with the Social Security Act. In the original Medicare Entitlement Act, right in there, it says, something to the effect, nothing in this act shall be construed to permit the interference in the practice of medicine. And that's just about an exact quote. You can get a copy of the original Medicare Act from your senators or...
All right, hold on. So coordinate this with the red flag law quickly. What do you mean
by
this?
No, the thing was, you read something like that at a medical meeting, it's a sick joke. Of course they're going to use any kind of power to expand it. Government never settles for its power.
I understand that the Social Security thing was a great point this morning.
Oh my goodness, yeah. May not be used for identification purposes.
But we're talking about the states. Uh-huh. Again, I don't agree with the states implementing many of these red flag laws. I think some can be, if you want to call them red flag, you can call them non-flag, a black flag. I don't care what you call them. Mm-hmm. The question is what areas would you consider to be at least okay and some that are just way overboard? Let's go to Hank. What's up, Hank?
Hey, good morning, Ed.
Hey, bro.
My thing is all of this, all this stuff that Biden is pushing is against the law-abiding citizen. That's the thing that I just can't understand is that, you know, this is what they're going against. I mean, they're not going against some guy that's going down the back alley that's just going to pop a trunk and get a Glock for $5.
Good point.
They're not going to follow the laws of the land and stuff like that. And the other thing is that the Democrats have always told us that we need to keep the government out of our bedroom when it comes to health and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's what they've already been telling us.
Great point.
So they want to get in my gun cabinet. They can't get in my gun cabinet because that's inside my bedroom, and they're not supposed to be in there anyway.
Great point. You just nailed it, man. Knocked up inside my bedroom. That's a good. You're right on that one. Hey, man, thanks for calling.
You too, buddy.
That's a great point. I like that one. He's getting more accurate. He's accurate on that. Let's go. I love good information like that. Brad, hey, man, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, a couple of quick points. One of the heads of the CDC, a woman, just came out yesterday, I think, and said that the new national health crisis is so-called racism. So we all know that racism comes from one's mind. So they can use that as an excuse to come in and take your guns. They could say that you have a mental disorder with racism. And number two is this is all part of the mind control process that the Marxist left has been pushing in this country for decades. But so we got wide open borders with billions and billions of dollars of illegal drugs flowing into the country, which is fueling most of the gun violence in the cities. We all know that. And yet we're supposed to be restricted in our rights.
On the gun violence, I don't think it's all coming from south of the border. I think you already have enough guns in here. You don't need to get more south of the border. You got enough guns here where people are thieving them.
Yeah.
And that's what's taking place.
Breaking into houses, breaking into cars.
To his point, I was trying to, he said so much on that first one. The laws on red flag, whatever you want to do it, we already have certain laws already on the books. The question is, where do you sit back? And I keep asking, where do you dictate? Okay, like, hey, listen, Ed, you know, because people talk about, well, due process. If a cop says, Your Honor, and listen, we think this could be, we've invested, or we've been in this house before, Your Honor. We think this time, this guy needs to, we think this is a more serious threat. He shouldn't have any guns in there. Do you disagree with that? That's due process, is it not? Because what happens is, remember the FBI? Well, the FBI could have gone out for Nicholas Cruz, a Parkland shooting, and they didn't do nothing about it. Yes, he should have been red flagged, and they didn't do nothing about it. So we complain if they don't do something, and then some of us complain when they do something. Get what I'm saying?
Right.
All right. 725 Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
We're still dealing with that slow traffic on the Buckman Bridge headed south. It's from an earlier accident that has the right lane blocked, so be aware and add about 4 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees.
Harvard University's affirmative action program is on trial. A lawsuit was brought on behalf of Asian American students who didn't get in but should have. Now, according to Harvard's own internal study, if academic credentials were the basis for getting in there, 43%, almost half of the entering class, would be Asian Americans. But guess what? Asian students account for only 19% of Harvard's new admissions. So the Asian American students who run rings around everybody else academically finally had enough. With this lawsuit, they're demanding to be treated fairly based on merit. That doesn't happen on the left. Merit's the last thing they take into account. The left has a lot riding on this case. Harvard is at the top of the heap when it comes to using affirmative action to enforce this so-called diversity. This entire liberal house of cards could come tumbling down with this one case, which is expected to end up at the Supreme Court, where guess who sits? Brett Kavanaugh, who used to do what? Teach at Harvard. Until when? They fired him because of ballsy Ford's lies. No wonder they're worried about it.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ziprecruiter.com/free. That's ziprecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Remembering what Rush said then was right.
What do we do here every day? I simply report the news. All of it.
And still is.
And give you aspects of it and angles that you don't get in the drive-by media. Or maybe in any other place. We don't do topics here. We don't do guests. We just do the news of the day related to how I can use it to inform people what I believe. It's a way of explaining the horrors of liberalism.
Weekdays from noon till 3, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB. Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
Hey, a lot of good calls. A lot of people like Rod's call. I'm getting a lot of emails on the Social Security card. That was a good one there. Shall not be used for any other.
A sick joke.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm always fascinated by, boy, you can't take away their guns unless they've been convicted. No. If they're threatening you, if there's other, those other things we do that some would deem not to be constitutional. Deny you from leaving the country with a passport, deny you bail, which I have no problem with. Somebody's a threat and you think they're going to leave, I would deny their bail.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it might be an unconstitutional. Okay. But let's see where some of this goes. All right, more coming up next. Ed and Roger, Talk Radio WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Britain's Prince Philip has died. The announcement coming a short time ago from Buckingham Palace. The husband of Queen Elizabeth II, Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, passed away peacefully this morning at Windsor Castle. According to the statement from the palace, the prince, who married Princess Elizabeth in 1947, was 99 years old. Governor Greg Abbott saying it may be time for Texas to adopt legislation declaring itself a Second Amendment sanctuary state. The governor bringing up the idea on Twitter after President Biden announced a series of executive orders on gun control that critics denounce as a gun grab. On Wall Street right now, stock futures pointing to a higher open. The Dow futures are up 76 points. NASDAQ futures ahead a fraction. S&P futures 8 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB News.
Good morning. I'm Adam Boardman. A woman who coughed on someone will spend time behind bars. Deborah Jo Hunter was caught on video last summer at a store in Jacksonville, a video which quickly went viral and made headlines across the country. She initially pleaded not guilty to assault. After turning down three separate plea deals, the judge said he'd either be sentencing Hunter himself or the case would have to go to trial. Hunter soon switched her plea to guilty. Yesterday, she was given a 30-day prison sentence, followed by 6 months probation, plus a $500 fine. She was also ordered to attend a parenting skills class and undergo treatment for anger management. A main area road is once again open after being closed for a while due to a gas line break. The southbound lanes of Blanding Boulevard in Clay County were shut down yesterday morning, and nearby businesses had to be evacuated. No one was hurt, though. The line was cut accidentally by some construction equipment. That's Jacksonville.radio news.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Have you heard? The Ted and Sandy Gospel Program can be heard every Sunday from 7 to 8 a.m. on WBOB. Ted and Sandy guarantee to play you some of the best in Southern Gospel, Bluegrass Gospel, and Country Gospel available. They'll give you words of encouragement in your daily life, announce gospel sings, and church events in our area, and much more. Tune in every Sunday morning at 7, right here on WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
We're still dealing with that slow traffic on the Buckman Bridge headed south. It's from an earlier accident that has the right lane blocked, so be aware and add about 4 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees. Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. On Thursday, President Biden rolled out a set of executive orders on gun control and says he supports a nationwide red flag law. Border officials announced record high numbers in March of illegal migrants crossing the U.S. border. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is suing the Biden administration to get cruises open in the state. The CDC has extended a ban preventing cruise ships from allowing passengers to embark and disembark from U.S. ports.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed@wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
So who was it? Prince William?
Prince Philip.
Prince Philip. I can't keep up. I mean.
Yeah, William is his grandson, who was probably going to be the king after next. All but right. Yeah, this is Queen Elizabeth's.
But they're not like the king, like you and I both know is a king. You know what I'm saying?
He, no, because.
Just title. Yeah. Prime Minister actually takes everything over there. But I was just kind of curious which prince it was.
Right, who passed
I'm
away.
Like, Prince passed? I was like, okay. Because I get so many things going on off the air, you know what I'm saying? So, right. Anyway. All right, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, right here on Talk Radio WBOB. All right, let's continue our conversation. Eric Eichenberg here on with us for a little bit, a few minutes this morning. This afternoon, he is, of course, as you know, a lot of us, we're all working here, man. Everybody thinks that, you know, once we get off the air, we're just done. This guy works 24/7. And, of course, a lot of it has to do, I wanted to talk about this. Eric Eichenberg, again, the CEO of the Everglades Foundation, the website, everglades foundation.org. The Senate has a $95 billion proposed budget. The House has got $97. They're going to work things up. I got to ask a quick question. That includes Everglades restoration, a lot of projects that you guys have been in favor of. Does some of this include stimulus money? We're trying to find, just people are just asking.
Good morning. Good morning, Ed.
Yeah.
Good to be with you. Great question.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
As far as the numbers that we're tracking, it's not stimulus. So it's part of the land acquisition trust fund. So it's state money, state tax dollars, money that comes from real estate transactions. So that's where the revenue for environmental spending is coming from.
To my point is that you have enough of people visiting the state. You don't need an income tax. You don't need all the extra. There is enough tourism out there that suffices a lot of this. According, you know, for example, your board chairman, Carlos De La Cruz Jr., had an op in the Miami Times that talked about, hey, listen, we're able to flourish. We don't have an income tax of people and wealth coming to Florida to visit for the environment.
That's exactly right. And what Carlos also pointed out is, as we see the real estate boom here during COVID, when real estate is transacted, especially these high net properties, these real estate taxes that are transacted go directly to this trust fund that I've mentioned. And this is the trust fund or the account that voters passed back in 2014. So listeners may recall we had a ballot initiative that amended our Constitution to say we want to protect our environment. We want to protect our water supply. So as real estate transacts, a third of that that tax associated goes into this land acquisition trust fund. So we're all in this together. And the beauty of it is, as people are coming to Florida, we're able to ensure that our infrastructure, our water infrastructure, water supply is protected.
Interesting question. You mentioned the word trust fund. You know, for example, you've got groups out there that are saying they're actually seeing some cuts in the budget. It's taking money from a trust fund here and a trust fund there. Has anybody, the trust fund that you just talked about, have they tried? I'm just kind of curious. Have they ever tried to, I guess the word is, misuse it and not spending it to what it was allocated for?
No doubt. And I apologize for using trust fund, because these accounts are swept all the time.
Okay, so I didn't know what word to use.
You know, the lack of trust from the public's point of view is deep. So these are accounts. But yes, when voters passed this Amendment 1 account that I'm referring to, the next year the legislature is appropriating the money to buy cars for the Department of Agriculture. They're utilizing in areas that had nothing to do with Florida's environment. So there was a lawsuit that was filed. Folks took the state to court, and thankfully there was an agreement that got the state on track on how to spend these dollars. This was roughly back 2015 to 2016. But if the voters are speaking, look, it's like the lottery, Ed. We passed the initiative to create, you know, to fund the education through the lottery, and that's been swept for many, many years up in Tallahassee.
Has the opportunity for legislators in the account, as you were, I like that account, is it to take money out, has the threat gone away, or is it just there every year that you've got to come up to Tallahassee and go, I got to lay the hammer down here now?
Well, you do. Years like this, where you see a sludge of federal dollars that are coming down, are not ordinary. So, yes, you're up there constantly making sure that the amount, the dollar, the accounts that are associated with the environment are funding the environment. So the old adage of a lockbox, remember the old lockbox?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of keys going around. So you got to ensure that you're in front of these legislators, telling them, put the money to solve our water quality issues, restore the Everglades, save the St. John's, Indian River Lagoon, and so on and so forth.
The article by the board chairman, Carlos De La Cruz Jr., again, just recently in the op-ed in the Miami Times, which is great to brag about, hey, we don't have an income tax here. But one of the things he also talked about in this article was about with the economy and the importance of continuing, because now a lot of people, I mean, again, I want to remind everybody, you got more people using outdoor facilities ever since, it seems like around COVID, than we ever seen before, which means they're using Everglades, they're using the St. John's, they're hunting, they're fishing. This is because, I mean, we got the fishing guides, Eric, that you partner up with that we talk about on this radio show. They're like, hey, listen, business is booming. We actually have to put people on a 3 to 4 month waiting list.
Yeah, and as much as they say that, that's welcome. That's welcome news to these fishing guides. So put people on the waiting list. That means business is booming, which is the way we want to see it. But as business is booming, we also have these threats that we're seeing in Manatee County with this Piney Point phosphate situation. That's impacting water quality around the Tampa Bay area. So as much as we're moving a couple steps forward, you have issues like this that set us back. So we have to be vigilant. But these fishing guides, Ed, I went to Naples this week for a visit, and I went over U.S. 41, Tamiami Trail, saw the beautiful bridges. But as I was heading west to Naples, the amount of cars and tourists taking airboat rides, doing swamp walks, exploring the outdoors there near the park, near the Big Cypress, was tremendous.
The swamp walk. Hey, what, Roger's looking at me going, what is a swamp walk?
Yeah, Roger, you need to get down here for a swamp walk. Get up to your waist or up to your chest in water.
Is that these boots you dodge a few alligators. Okay. Now these boots they wear that are up to their thighs, is that what they use?
Yeah.
Okay, I've
seen that. Maybe not that high, but sure. And then you can find yourself a python while you're out.
Okay.
Wait. Eric's got good humor. Are you being serious?
Yes. Come on. These swamp walks are iconic. So
no
get out
way.
There with a big walking stick, water's up to your waist or higher, and it is a magical, it's a majestic experience right there in the Big Cypress, the Cypress Domes. You both need to come down. And
wait, back up. Now, I do a lot, I try to avoid certain water when I'm walking in the mornings hunting, but wait. There's literally a swamp walk that goes up to your waist. What do you put on?
Well, you put on clothes that you may want to throw away. you put on some good shoes. You get these water repellent items you can put on at the lower for cover your lower extremities there, and let's get on with it.
And they're doing this in the Everglades.
Yes. A swamp walk is one of those things you can't miss. You can't pass.
That's the reason why you need a lot of the restoration. That is incredible. But you're seeing a major economic boom taking place down there. Is there been a lot of, like, when you talk about, like, hey, guys, like, Visit Florida will come out and advertise the mouse. They'll advertise the zoo in Jacksonville. They'll advertise the beaches in Clearwater Beach or whatever. Do they run ads? Because Roger and I were asking this. I would assume they have to be running ads of some of the tourism in South Florida, like the environment on the Everglades.
Yes, and I would put the snail kite or the roseate spoonbill up against the mouse any day.
Hey, man,
that people should experience. So we're actually in good talks right now with Visit Florida. You know, the Everglades is a World Heritage Site. So as far as a global perspective, there's nothing like the Everglades. So partnering with Visit Florida, they're all over the world promoting Florida. So why not have the Everglades, the outdoor experience, be right up there at the top? And there's no doubt we see it. Germans and other European countries and folks coming to South Florida to experience it. So as, again, we come out of this COVID crisis, the environment, the Everglades, our natural resources are leading the way.
All right. So in the budgets dealing with the water projects, in some of the other areas that you've talked about, you know, we've covered them. We had another article out this week about those on FloridaDaily.com. Right now, there is no concern when they're looking at some of the cuts right there. Everything seems to be smooth sailing, correct?
With 3 weeks left, don't hold your breath.
Well,
but at the moment, we're sitting pretty good, but things change quickly in Tallahassee. But I had good visits when I was up there with the leadership of the legislature, and so far so good. But we remain laser focused to make sure. And listen, the governor's led on this. The governor put out a bold budget recommendation. These numbers are going directly to what he promised on day two of his administration. We're in good shape.
All right. Just want to follow through, man. So, and just see where this goes. So, all right. Eric Eichenberg, Park Madness. There we go. He's the CEO of the Everglades Foundation. A great article in the Miami Times, the op-ed about, hey, the success. And, hey, we don't even have to bring an income tax. It's doing it on its own because people are visiting the state. It was a good article. Eric Eichenberg, EvergladesFoundation.org. Hey, as always, good to have you on.
Good to be with you guys. Have a great
day. We'll see
you, man.
All right. More coming up next. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson.
Swamp Walk.
Yeah, I was just going to... Some of you are laughing. I'm getting even. No, I did not. I mean, some of us, when we go hunting, we don't want to be doing swamp walks because we want to get to where we're going to go.
Apparently, there's a diversity of experiences you can have in the Everglades. I usually think with the airboats, that would be my natural default assumption. That's what most people do, and they probably do. But you can go fishing. There's a big thing with people like to hunt for pythons.
I think we should do a lot more of that.
And get money for it, too. I mean, the state will pay you, I think, anywhere between $50 to $150 per snake.
Can you imagine the revenues we could raise? Mm-hmm. First off, I think we should have a revenue at the border of Mexico and especially Texas and California and all the other states there. We could actually watch people jump, try to get over the fence, and then bust them customs, the Border Patrol agents track them down. I'm telling you, you bring a lot of tourism in. I would pay to see that. Number two, the whole python thing, the swamp walk, I mean, it just... Everything is booming outside.
Well, the argument is that the pythons are predatory and they're making their way out of the Everglades.
Yes.
Up north, and they'll probably be in North Florida, you know, probably in the next 5 to 10 years if they don't stop it. The one thing that is stopping it is I-4 because they get run over.
Basically. Yeah, well, I'll do a lot more of that. But anyway, I've never heard of the swamp walk.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. All right, more coming up next. 745, Ed and Roger, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
We're still dealing with that slow traffic on the Buckman Bridge headed south. It's from an earlier accident that has the right lane blocked, so be aware and add about 4 extra minutes. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees.
Fishing in Florida attracts millions of visitors to our state, supports more than 100,000 jobs, and contributes to $35 billion in our state's water-based economy each year. The future of Florida's fishing industry depends on a healthy Everglades. Protect our fishing. Restore America's Everglades. Learn more at evergladesfoundation.org.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods, and you've heard me talk a lot about diamonds, but as a certified gemologist of the American Gem Society, we're experts on colored gemstones too, and there are hundreds of varieties and species in the gem kingdom. As certified gemologists, we're trained on the identification of each of these and can separate the man-made synthetics and imitations from the real thing. But at Underwoods, we can go to the next step. We're active buyers of loose colored stones in the world markets, so we understand the values of colored stones as they relate back to the various qualities. In fact, we buy most of our colored stones loose and create pieces of jewelry to hold these gems, so you can be assured of the authenticity, the quality, and value of the colored stone jewelry we sell. So if you're looking for a fine quality emerald, sapphire, ruby, aquamarine, opal, tanzanite, tourmaline, savorite garnet, alexandrite, or any other gemstone, come by and see us at Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Pina Vedra.
Hi, I'm Chef Matthew Madure.
And I'm Chef David Madure.
We are the founders of Madure Brothers Culinary Concepts.
And creators of M Shack, your favorite local burger place.
When we decided to branch from fine dining to open M Shack, we knew we wanted to build a much better burger.
Hey Matt, can you build a better burger with just toppings?
Nah.
Better condiments?
I don't think so.
A better bun?
It's like I said from the beginning, Dave, you gotta grind your own meat.
You didn't say that in the beginning.
I did say that from the beginning, we had to grind our own meat.
Well, I agree. But what kind of top quality meat are you talking about?
Chuckin' brisket, bro. What else is there?
Ha, I can't argue with that one.
And Dave, that's how you build a better burger.
M Shack Burgers, Shakes, and More. It takes family to build a better burger. Let the M Shack brothers build your family a better burger. Stop in for happy hour between 3 and 5 for $3 burgers, shakes, and more. Visit mshackburgers.com and order online. M Shack Burgers. Let our family build your family a better burger.
Make someone's day with a little help from Kuhn Flowers. Fresh flowers have a way of adding that extra bit of beauty to your home. They're also a great way to brighten someone's day. And what better way is there to show someone just how much you care than with a fresh bouquet of flowers? One thing's for sure, when you order flowers from Kuhn Flowers, they're the brightest, most colorful, professionally arranged, long-lasting floral arrangements available. Call Kuhn Flowers today, 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or you can shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com. Kuhn Flowers, making memories since 1947.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Here are some of the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new Hill-Harris X poll finds more voters say Biden, not Trump, is responsible for the border crisis. A new study by UNF says the proposed increase in the Jacksonville gas tax would create a positive economic impact on the city. And the Florida State House and State Senate have both passed budgets just shy of $100 billion. Up next, lawmakers negotiating the final amounts.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at wbob.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
The Florida State Legislature is going to be having a vote on the House floor about banning trans, they call it trans now, but transgender females, boys born as boys crossing over to the females, from competing in women's high school and college sports. The latest with that, reporter Alex Livingston.
A bill banning trans females from women's high school and college sports is headed to the Florida House floor. Supporters say the bill will ensure women have a level playing field in competitive sports. Gender disputes would be resolved by taking a look at a student's anatomy, testosterone, or genetic makeup. Opponents to the bill, including some female athletes, call it an attack on the trans community. The Florida State Senate is considering a somewhat less restrictive measure. It would allow trans females to play in women's sports if testosterone levels are low enough following Olympic standards.
All right, wait a second. So the State House says we're going to ban it based on anatomy and a few other things. Well, just, you had me at anatomy. You're a boy. Sorry, you can't compete in women's sports. Mm-hmm. The Florida State Senate, which is run by Republicans, has now sat back and go, well, we're not going to depend on that. We're going to do it on your testosterone level. But isn't it still a man competing in a women's sport, technically?
They say the testosterone hormone is what it is that, gives the males the advantage athletically.
It
makes them stronger. Oh. So if they have low enough testosterone levels, then technically they qualify as a girl, I guess.
Can you imagine sitting on a bleacher just laughing at the guys that couldn't make it, if they couldn't beat the girls? This is absolutely so ridiculous. Here is one of the opponents against this bill, female from FSU. Oh, boy. Abigail O'Loughlin. She says that the bill itself is misogynistic. It's prejudice against females. Listen to this.
Sets a precedent that is dangerous. It fosters more stigma. It puts trans women specifically in a light that they are dangerous and that men are more powerful than women. And that simply is misogynistic.
Men are more powerful than women. That's a sexist comment, Roger.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a reason why they don't have women as, left tackles into the NFL. They'd get clobbered. Honestly,
I take that back. I don't know if I want women. They'd probably kneecap
me. Women are more delicate. You put them on a pedestal and you protect them. And if this goes the way it's probably going to end up going, we're going to end up seeing the trans community dominating female sports. And, of course, that's going to ultimately affect the ability for some young ladies to get college scholarships.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, my whole thing is that men, this is not a, by the way, strength does not mean you can win a fight. Mm-hmm. It's about maneuvering.
We could end up being an entirely new class of sports. Yeah. One of the TV shows I like to look at is Survivor, and they intentionally make them that. Where they're not strength, it's balance oriented.
Yeah.
So we could end up seeing a new trend in that direction.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just kind of interesting here that men are naturally stronger, but that's not a put down. I mean, listen, I know women that can beat the snot out of a man. MMA, professional wrestling. It's based on skill and technique, but this bill, it's going to be based on anatomy, but the Florida State Senate says, no, we're not going to base it on anatomy. Instead, we will base it on low testosterone. All right, more of this coming up next. 831-0600, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid WBOB traffic?
Our usual slow traffic on I-10 headed east, right between Cassett Avenue and Luna Street. For now, just add about 3 extra minutes, but expect it to slow down as the morning goes on. And if you see anything, give us a call. 901-SAFE.
Mostly cloudy today with a high of 85, partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. Right now it's 61 degrees.
I'm Lou Dobbs. New U.S. airline kicking off with $19 fares. Food delivery services set to issue their own credit cards. And New York State aiding illegal immigrants. Those stories next.
Hi, this is Rhett Rasmussen of BestHotGrill.com. Gift giving occurs year-round, whether for birthdays, holidays, or a special expression of thanks to your best clients and customers. Of course you want to show your love and gratitude, but you also want to give a gift that provides a positive image of you and your organization. Solaire infrared grills from BestHotGrill.com are both practical and unforgettable. Made in the USA, Solaire has a grill for most budgets, but more importantly, Solaire delivers the wow that everybody likes to receive in a gift. Impressive out of the box, and even more so in use, the Solaire infrared grills are the gift of value that will build relationships. With every great-tasting, juicy meal enjoyed from their Solaire, they'll think of you. Step up your gift-giving. Learn more about the amazing Solaire infrared grills at BestHotGrill.com. That's BestHotGrill.com. BestHotGrill.com.
Even as traditional air carriers are still recovering from the China virus pandemic, a new domestic airline will launch this month. Avilo Airlines will serve airports in 12 western states after delaying its launch until demand for air travel picked up in recent months. Avilo's inaugural flights will offer fares for just $19. After seeing their businesses boom during the pandemic, grocery delivery service Instacart and restaurant food transporter DoorDash are both preparing to issue their own credit cards. The companies believe their cards will help retain customer loyalty. State lawmakers in New York will spend more than $2 billion to provide aid to illegal immigrants who were excluded from COVID-19 stimulus payments. Please join me three times each weekday for my updates from the Salem Radio Network. Right here on this station, this is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Canines for Warriors is ending veteran suicide and returning our warriors to a life of dignity and independence. They rescue and train shelter dogs to be paired as service dogs for warriors with service-connected post-traumatic stress, traumatic brain injury, and or military sexual trauma. Join their mission and be a part of their 2020 campaign to reduce the veteran suicide rate of 20 a day, because 20 is a name, not a number. Learn more at caninesforwarriors.org.
The Brandon Gruger News Hour, Fridays 5 to 6 on WBOB, has accurately predicted the presidential election, the Capitol riots, and more. Hear the newsmakers and call in at 904-831-0600. This Friday's topic's the need for universal background checks, and Brandon and Doug discuss actions America can take to unify our country and address racial disparities while keeping our capitalist tradition intact. Join the discussion 5 p.m. Friday on WBOB, sponsored by Elite Home Health.
Contact the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 WBOB by calling 831-0600, 831-0600, or email ed at WBOB.com. AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Hey, we got time to take some more calls. JR, what is up this morning?
Hey, Mr. Dean, and hello, Roger.
Hey, brother.
Hey, get this, man. That thing from FSU, that is an embarrassment to our school, brother.
I know. I had to put that down there because, you know.
Your Florida State University.
The trans.
Get this, Dean, okay?
All right.
I do not know a single solitary athlete that I know that would agree that a transgender should compete in a female sport. Reason is, unfair advantage. They cannot monitor that testosterone unless every event they enter, they're going to do like a check on them, like, the, you know, they do the drug testing.
Yeah.
Give me a break. You know what? They need to create their own Special Olympics if they want to do that so badly. If they're so bad at their gender and not good enough, you know what I mean, to be on the team or whatever, then they need to create their own Special Olympics. And you know what? As far as the girls go, you step into a bathroom with women and you're not a woman, I don't know who's going to be worse, the mother or the father going on them. You know what I'm saying?
Great point.
Women find it. You know, I'm sorry, but where do you draw the line?
I got to go because I'm up against the top of the hour. JR, you bring up a great point. I think they already have a transgender Olympics, don't they?
I
thought they might have had, but I think they should do it that way. JRB, you bring up a good point. Let me go a little bit further. If you got a parent who believes, especially the mom or especially the father, who believes his daughter just kicks butt and that's going to be their scholarship, oh, she lost from somebody who transitioned over, that's going to anger a lot of parents, Raj.
Yeah, it's very expensive to go to college these days. Yeah.
And that boy just caused my daughter, that girl, whatever that it was, just caused my daughter to lose that scholarship. I'm telling you, it's coming. All right, more coming up next. Ed and Roger, Talk Radio WBOB.
AM 600 WBOB Jacksonville, 101.1 FM W266 CX Fruitco. Talk Radio.